This morning's sermon is from Luke chapter 3. Spirit of God, make the way straight for us to hear and believe your word, for your word is truth and life. Amen. A number of years ago, a couple travelled to the offices of an adoption agency in England to receive a baby. They had been on the waiting list a long time. They had been interviewed and carefully scrutinised. Now at last, their dreams were to be fulfilled. But their day of happiness was another's pain. Arriving at the offices of the society, they were led up a flight of stairs to a waiting room. After a few minutes, they heard someone else climbing the stairs. It was the young mother whose baby was to be adopted. She was met by the lady responsible for the adoption arrangements and taken into another room. Our friends heard a muffled conversation, and a few minutes later, footsteps on the stairs as the young mother left. They heard a deep sobbing until the front door of the office was closed. Then there was silence. The lady in charge then ushered them next door. In a little cot was a six-week-old baby boy. On a chair beside the cot was a brown paper bag containing a change of clothes and two letters. One of these was addressed to the new parents and thanked them for providing a home for her baby and acknowledged that under the terms of the adoption, each would never know the other's identity. Then the young mother added one request. Would they allow a little son to read the other letter on his 18th birthday? She assured them that she had not included any information about her identity. The couple entrusted this letter to a lawyer, and one day the young man will read the message which his mother wrote on the day when, with breaking heart, she parted from him. I wonder what she wrote in that letter. If you had to condense all you feel about life and love into a few precious words, what would you say? There probably wouldn't be any trivia in a letter. The economic climate, the political issues of the day, the weather, the size of your investment portfolio probably wouldn't even rate a mention. No, we would want to dwell on the big things of life, on what life was all about and what things were absolutely essential. John, out in the desert, was in the great tradition of the Hebrew prophets. He was aware that time was running out. In his burning message, he had no time for trivial matters. He was not playing Trivial Pursuit, nor was he prepared to splash about in the shallows. Soon the sword of Herod's guard would flash and his tongue would lie silent in the grave. People distracted with superficial things came out from Jerusalem to see him. They were intrigued by this strange phenomenon of a wild man preaching repentance. They were fascinated by surface-level things like his camel hair suit, wild hairdo, and homemade leather belt, not to mention his fiery and passionate message of challenge. They wanted to interview him and then tell all their friends about his remarkable experience. "Who are you?" they asked. His answer was curt. "I am not the Christ. Are you Elijah?" "No." "Then who are you?" they persisted. They had their doubts about who he was, but his message to their ears was clear. Repent. Repent at Christmas. Isn't that the message of Lent? When we hear all of that torture, blood and suffering of the Jesus to whom John was a sign, but not at Christmas, Christmas is nice. Christmas is about a cute little baby and carols and presents and food and shopping. Yes, repent, approaching Christmas. John calls us to approach Christmas with honesty and openness to the Word of God. He calls us to repent our way to Merry Christmas. Advent means coming, and it requires a thoughtful and reflective approach to the coming of God into our humanity, with all our muck, sin, and death. We prepare for Christmas by repenting. Repenting for John is more than having a change of heart or a feeling of regret. It is more than a New Year's Eve resolution. Repentance is a turning away from ourselves and in simple trust and faith in God's grace, turning back to him. Advent marks the start of a new church year, and it is customary at the start of any year to reflect on the past, look at the present, and contemplate the future. We find ourselves reflecting on what God has been up to and what he will do in the future. In tough times when we feel a bit alone, it is pretty easy to start to worry about our future and feel as though we have to make everything happen by ourselves without God. Then there is always all those things we see and hear on TV these days. So much fear and terror, so many tragedies, so much suffering. But into this comes this fiery witness, John. He calls us away from our worries and puts our life into perspective, God's perspective. He displays God's passion to have us back with him. John shows God's deep concern for us and points us sinners to the medicine for our disease, the antidote to our worry, the security for our future, Jesus. Each of us is invited to come to Jesus one-on-one. John says, prepare for the advent, the coming of Jesus. We can't rely on our pedigree as a dyed-in-the-wool Lutheran or an extra-special member of this parish. There is no room for pleading ignorance concerning God's call to come clean with him and repent. No, there is only room in our hearts for the grace of Jesus. That's what it's all about. For us Christians, there is a lifetime of giving that comes from this grace that fills our hearts. We are called by the Lord through John to reflect on what we do with the Lord's grace and love. Please consider the following. If you have food in the fridge, clothes on your back, a roof overhead and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people in this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet or purse, and spare change in a jar somewhere, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are doing better than the 1 million who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, loneliness of imprisonment, agony of torture, or pangs of starving, you are ahead of 500 million people. If you can attend a Christian church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people. God knew the world of John and Jesus, and he knows our world. He is again calling us and the world to come clean about who we really are and what we have done. John says to you and me that there is only room for simple trust in the grace and love of our God and points us in the direction of his only son, Jesus. Jesus is the one who has come and who will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He is the one present with us now, present in love to heal us and give peace and life. Turn to him this Advent so that your joy may be big this Christmas. Amen.